Hello and welcome to Behind the Headlines on the 20th of June with me, Alex Richardson. I hope you're well and I hope you're keeping cool on what's been a very warm Friday. This is the podcast where we take you further into some of the news stories that our reporters have been covering right across the UK today. And first, we start with the biggest story of the day, one which has been top of news bulletins across the country. And MPs have voted to legalise assisted dying in England and Wales, the legislation giving the right to die to terminally ill adults with fewer than 6 months left to live, was passed by 314 votes to 291, a majority of 23. Our political editor, Georgie Prodromou, has more for us.
The eyes have it, the eyes have it. Oh, look!
I'm Georgie Prodromou on Parliament Square, where there were tears of joy and sadness for many who had personal experiences that led them here.
It would have meant that my mother wouldn't have taken a life alone in our own home last year.
My husband, he went to Dignitas in December, so he would be here right now with me and with his boys.
There are those here that will continue to oppose this bill through the remaining stages.
We know that this legislation will threaten and will shorten the lives of disabled people.
A lot of people will be put at risk by this bill.
The bill will now go to the House of Lords, where it will face further scrutiny before it can become law.
Well, I'm guessing it's been warm wherever you are today. It's been warm for me today. And high temperatures are expected to continue into tomorrow too for the weekend. Well, health officials are urging everyone to take care in the heat. And of course, though it is a great day to head to the beach, don't our reporters get all the best jobs? We head to Cleethorpes Beach, where we can find our senior reporter, Rebecca Quornby.
I'm soaking up the smell of fish and chips and the sight of the glistening sea, but what I don't realise I'm soaking up a lot of is the sun. With the UV rays being at the strongest, I've been asking people how they're protecting themselves.
These have had their hats on and I've got mine.
Got to factor up, especially for kids, but grown-ups as well.
A heat health alert's in place until Monday.
Well, you might be enjoying the warm weather today, but because of it, there's been an increase in reports of jellyfish across parts of the southwest of England. Anyone who sees one is being asked to take a picture of it. Let's cross to our chief reporter, Andrew Kay, who's by Exmouth Beach in Devon.
Well, I've certainly seen an increase, having nearly stood on two of them down here on the beach last night. But at the moment, it's unclear whether there are more jellyfish or because there's more people out on the beach at the moment because of the weather spotting them. They're now posting it online to groups like Facebook, and it seems like there are. In fact, a Devon-based project is now trying to answer that question.
We are looking at a citizen science project.
That's Dr. Juliet Jackson, who's leading the Southwest Jellyfish Project, which aims to understand their numbers and also their role in the local ecosystems.
So we get involved, and then any data that we collect, we map, we report at peer review conferences.
And she's now encouraging beachgoers to upload images to their Facebook page, and there's even a guide to help to identify which type of jellyfish it is. And looking at that, I've learnt quite a lot, in fact. There's the dustbin jellyfish, the moon, the crystal, the lion's mane, the helmet, the gooseberry, the wind sailor, and of course the notorious Portuguese man of war. And some of them do look quite impressive, although clearly I wouldn't say that if I'd stood on one. For me now, I'm going to walk back to my car carefully.
Next, and a Hertfordshire farmer is set to pay tens of thousands of pounds to clean up someone else's mess in one of the worst cases of fly tipping that the country has seen. The government says it's cracking down on so-called cowboy waste operators, but legally it's up to the private landowner to try and sort it. In the meantime, it's piles and piles of rubbish which were dumped and left to rot in the scorching heat, from books to mattresses and even a dismantled coffin. Well, our senior reporter Zoe Head Thomas went to go and have a look.
So we're on the outskirts of St Albans and meeting Will Dickinson, a nearby farmer. This isn't his land that was targeted, but his neighbouring farmers. He's about to turn 80 and he's the one who's going to have to deal with the consequences.
So there's all kinds of different waste. Some of it's house clearance, some of it's industrial, but also there is considerable evidence of clinical waste, and we think there's asbestos and the like here as well.
That could cause a risk of contamination to the land as well, couldn't it?
Yes, because we simply don't know what is in this waste. There's evidence of chemicals here, and they will all need specialist clearance. The tragedy of this type of crime is that it's perpetrated on a victim who then, by law, has to pay to put the crime right.
Will Dickinson estimates there's about 40 truckloads of it, and the estimated cost is £40,000 to get rid of this.
To Scotland now, and staff at the University of Edinburgh have held a rally today over proposed £140 million budget cuts. Lecturers, support staff and students say the plans could lead to major job losses and damage teaching and support services. Paul Riley has more.
Never be divided! No more cuts!
Next to George Square Gardens, dozens of staff held banners and chanted slogans calling on management to halt the cuts and protect jobs.
1,800 jobs at the university could potentially go, so that's going to have a massive impact upon the student experience, teaching, research.
Mary Senior, the Scotland official for the University and College Union. The University of Edinburgh says it's facing serious financial pressures, but insists it's doing what it can to limit the impact on both staff and students. Senior lecturer Claire Donaldson's worked at the uni for more than 15 years.
I feel I've given my life to this place. I have worked so hard for so many years, so the thought of being thrown on the scrap heap is devastating.
The rally comes during a one-day walkout timed to coincide with the university's open day.
The students understand, and we know that staff wouldn't be striking if they had any other option.
Further industrial action is already planned for the start of the new academic year in September.
And finally, and it's the start of 3 days of celebrations in Barrow in memory of hairy biker Dave Myers. Over a year on from his death, and thousands are expected at events to celebrate the chef's life, including the Dave Day bike ride, which is tomorrow. Here's our reporter, Joe Gartley.
A new exhibition is opening at the Dock Museum in Barrow, where he grew up in the back streets of the town. His wife, Lily Myers, donated a lot of the exhibits you will see here, such as his infamous bike helmet. And she says that she hopes that it may give some other young kids from Barrow that inspiration just to reach for the stars.
He used to tell me, Lil, what are the chances that me, a boy from a Barrow Inverness, do the things I do today?
Dave Day is tomorrow. It's a big celebration of the hairy biker that was Barrow.
And for more on these and other stories, head to the news pages of our websites. Check out our social media channels too. And come back here on Monday when we'll continue to take you behind the headlines.